You are listening to the Aging Starts Now podcast, where it's all about responding with confidence to the legal, financial, and personal challenges created by a disability, unexpected illness, or aging in general. Join us weekly as elder law attorneys Barbara McGinnis and Chris Johnson, along with other members of the Johnson McGinnis Elder Care Law and Estate Planning team, talk about the tools, techniques, strategies, and services that will make the elder care journey easier for everyone involved. Get ready, because aging starts now.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Aging Starts Now. I'm Caitlin Green. I'm an elder care coordinator here at Johnson McGinnis Elder Law and Estate Planning. Many of our clients need just a little bit of extra help around the house, like changing hard-to-reach light bulbs or bringing stuff down safely from that attic. If you're a solo ager, these small things can start to become big. So today, I have friends Eric Roper and Buddy Ladd here from Books of John, which is a nonprofit in Nashville. Welcome, you guys. Thanks for being here with me.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to our story.
I have a heart for nonprofit. And I have a heart for this type of servant leadership. And so I really, I would love for you to tell our listeners kind of how this started and what Books of John's mission really is.
Yeah, so Books of John has almost been a lifehood for me. I started off at the age of 9 following my father around because he would take me to job sites that he would do for widows and senior care in the community. And so I was holding flashlights and he would be yelling at me that I'm holding it wrong and getting tools out of the truck and stuff for him. And as we grew up and got older, around 2010, 2011, Dad and I were sitting there one day and I was like, there really needs to be some type of mission like this or service like this on a larger scale than just your regular handyman at your churches or just local community guys. So we talked about it for a while and realized that, you know, it wasn't the right time to do this. And then we fast forward 14 years from then until about 6 months ago, my father was on the last weeks of fighting stomach cancer. And I was sitting there with him on the couch and all of a sudden it just hit me. This is the time to do this mission. This is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to structure it. This is how we're going to find our volunteers. This is going to be the service area that we're going after to help. And so it started from there. So Books of John, has two different meanings, you know, obviously John from the Bible. And then I am seventh generation of John in my name. So I'm Jonathan Eric Roper. And my father was John Eric. My grandfather was John Hubert and so forth and so on. So each John in our family has had their own book of serving. My father taught me how to do what we're doing right now with the widows and seniors in our community. My grandfather before built churches in North Alabama, and my great grandfather in Ardmore, Alabama, he was a sheriff. And so they had a phone and a radio, which nobody else did in that area. So he would have the community come through and let them use their phone or anything that he had. And anytime he, slaughtered a cow or any livestock to feed, he'd always take half of it and give it to some of the families that needed it in the community. So for me, it's been a generation of serving and just following in my other John's footprints before me.
Oh, I love that. That it's a personal family kind of, it's a legacy that was left to you. I love that. I have to tell you that I'm somewhat of a history nut. And so I love family, ancestry, genealogy, and that passing down of a name, but also passing down that service, servant leadership. I just love that. That's really cool. I grew up very similarly, and I always loved older people. And, mm-hmm. you know, what may be really small for you and I, maybe changing a light bulb or standing on a ladder, could be detrimental for somebody that has health problems. you know, a lot of the times we'll say, do not get on that ladder, even when, you know, you're stubborn. I try to be really careful on a ladder because I'm clumsy, but tell me a little bit about the person that you serve. What maybe are their needs or ages?
Yeah, so, you know, the need is if you're a widow or a widower or, you know, the 65 plus senior community, you know, that's who we aim to help. And it's the simplest things. I'll go ahead and tell you a story of how it kind of got going. So my wife does jazzercise. She's been in jazzercise for 35 years. And so there's always an older generation of people working out there. And she's like, hey, one of the ladies here needed some help at her house, but I'm not going to tell you what she needed. I'm going to let her do that when she calls you. And I said, okay. So she calls me and she's like, I'm a 85-year-old widow. My husband passed away 6 months ago, and I have a dead deer carcass in my trash can, and it's the middle of August. And I need help getting it out. And I said,
bless her heart.
Yeah, she said, I'll be there in 10 minutes. So I got there, cleaned up the trash can. She wanted to talk to me. I was trying to do all the work. And I finally said, could you just give me a moment to where I could get this out of the trash can without having to breathe? Because it was horrible. But after I finished that, I was like, is there anything else you need? And she's like, yeah, I have this fountain that needs to be looked at, or this door doesn't close all the way, so my alarm doesn't activate. I have a drippy faucet in my kitchen. So that that right there kind of sparked the idea of there's a bigger need to just the day-to-day necessities of just maintaining a house so she could stay, you know, in her house longer. Like she said, her husband did all the work around the house, so she didn't really know what to do. She has two children. One lives out west, and the other one's up north. And didn't really have a support group that could help her with just the day-to-days. And so that was kind of the spearhead behind what Buddy and I have started. And it's just, you know, it's just the basic things that you don't think about all the time. So like when it snows, we went over there and put salt on the lady's steps, you know, so if they needed to get out there, you know, hopefully don't slip and fall. We would check in with them weekly just to make sure they had everything they need. It's cleaning gutters, cleaning windows, anything that might be a burden to them to think about. We just want to be there as an avenue for them to call for any questions or just have a helping hand out all the time.
Yeah. Well, and you've probably experienced like I have that, you know, they say, well, you know, my son, he works in a different city, or he has mm-hmm. three children of his own, or they're out of town. I don't want to be a bother. I don't want to be a burden, or they're unable, or, you know, in a way it gives a little bit of dignity when older folks are losing some of that independence, you know, because they asking for somebody to help you change a light bulb, they don't want to feel helpless. Right. And I think that you're giving a little bit of that dignity back. So I admire that.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing that we wake up every morning and just want to go out and help and, you know, just bring awareness to the situation. Because, like I said, as we've gone through this nonprofit venture, there's not a lot of aid to that demographic in what we're doing. And I think there needs to be more help.
Oh, that's a great point. I mean, even retirees are often just not considered. I read a article about how the older adult, and especially the old is what it called, the closer you get to 100, the more invisible you are in our society.
Yeah.
And that kind of struck me. And I thought, you know, that's really interesting. That's really interesting. I know your nonprofit is based in Nashville. What is kind of the service area? I know I'm in Sumner County. You're in Davidson. How widespread is the service?
Yeah, so right now our office is located here in Nashville as well. So our service area is kind of a donut, you know, around Nashville. We have volunteers, you know, at all different spots around the city that can go out and help. We our long-term goal is to kind of be in every major city as a hub and have our outlining fingers of volunteers to really go across Tennessee and just help out every individual that we can. But right now, as we're starting it and growing it, it's a, kind of Davidson County and around. We have some partnerships with some other churches down south, if there's some other needs and stuff of that nature, but it's mainly around Nashville.
I can see this definitely expanding, right? So tell me more about these volunteers. How would somebody become a volunteer? Maybe what skills are you looking for? And how do you vet them, or how can the older adult feel comfortable with whoever volunteer you send?
Yeah, I can walk us through that piece of it. So volunteering is a pretty simple process. We have a page on our website that you use for both where you go to sign up and also where you go back to see what operations or what service projects are open. The way you become vetted is we have it's called Datamax, a background screening company that when you submit an application, you're submitting to them as well. So that makes sure that everybody that's in our system has had a background check. We then have two meetings a month for any new volunteer that comes on. We have a call that kind of walks through, the Books of John structure, our code of conduct, our expectations for them as a volunteer and what they can expect from us as a company. Once we have all of that done, they've gone through that training call, they get approved, and then we go from there. The way that we have it structured right now for the person that we serve is Eric and I, or both of us together, will go out to the person that we know has a need. We'll survey, we'll meet them, we'll survey the job, make sure that we understand what all is required. Then we'll go back and get the volunteer on it. And then that volunteer makes the connection with the person that we're serving from there. So they've gone through our processes, our expectations of how they should act. And then we also follow back up with the person that they served, make sure that they were good, make sure there wasn't any outliers, make sure that there wasn't any improper conduct or anything like that. So there's a closed loop process that we have on that to make sure that everything gets done, everything gets reported, and everything's done in the way that we need to have it done. As far as skills go, we need everybody from people that are just good sitting in a room with somebody and talking, all the way to people that know how to build decks and ramps or electric or whatever. So, and that's basically how we have it structured now. We've got some volunteers that are just interested in food prep. Some volunteers are just interested in rideshare. So when they apply, they go through and they check what areas of interest or what areas of service they're interested in. And then we can kind of tailor that need to that volunteer.
Okay. That's fantastic, because that attends to some of the loneliness, some of the isolation, and some intergenerational contact, making other human beings feel a part of this community.
So that's really a huge point. We try not to do anything singly. So we try to send out two volunteers. It really helps being able to spend the time and connect with the person that we're serving with one volunteer, and the other volunteer can kind of stay busy and get the job done. We understand that a 10-minute repair is not really just a 10-minute repair. A 10-minute repair is a two-hour getting to meet the person, getting to know the person, understand the person, because we're not looking at this as, hey, we're just going to come in and fix this for you. We're looking at this as a community that we want to build and make sure that person that's out there that doesn't have somebody to lean on is able to at least say, hey, they can call Books of John and get some work done, but then also have some interaction and things like that.
Sure. Well, a 10-minute job is the opportunity for a two-hour building of relationship. Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like I have known several services through the years that really miss that focal point. That doesn't have to be a nonprofit mission, although often it is, and often it's a ministry. But really, I feel like anyone in elder care or senior care really needs to be intentional about the human being that they are serving. And I think you guys will agree with me that I get so much out of it. It's really not about what we do for them. They right. impart so much friendship and wisdom and guidance. And I hear some of the coolest stories. And of course, I love history. And so just gleaning some of that wisdom just to sit at the feet of people that raised us is just, for me, is such a high honor. And I'm getting that from you guys.
Oh, I totally agree with that for sure. And I'm not comparing them to dogs or anything, but you know, my dog always greets me with a big happy smile and happy to see me. That's the same greeting I get when I go to somebody's house to help them. And so you can't help but love it. I mean, it's already starting in an amazing relationship. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
That's why we wanted to start it as a nonprofit, because we wanted to take the money aspect away from the equation and just, we're just there to do a good deed and to serve and to help. We're not there to collect a paycheck or anything of that nature. So that's why we chose to go to the nonprofit route, just to break those barriers right when we walk in.
Person-centered care. I love it. So speaking of payment, so what do the older adults pay for services like this, or what is the cost in the community?
Sure. So to the client, there's no cost. You know, we do probably 50% of our jobs. The clients can make a pay it forward donation to the next client who can afford it. And then there's some that can't afford it, and we just take care of it. That's just what we do. And we just leave it up to the end customer to whatever their heart leads them to do.
What a lot of people like us to do for them is we will give them an estimate of what it would have cost to go out and get a contractor to do it. Mm-hmm. And we can provide that to them as like a general idea. And then if they want to, great. If they don't, great. But it's no charge to the people that we're serving.
Okay. So donation based, and, I assume that business people or church people, that anybody can donate to this nonprofit?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, our biggest thing that we're trying to do right now is partner up with all the local community churches. One, just to gain the mission support financially coming off of that, but also to get a good volunteer basis. And then partner up with them and just go out and conquer. And then you always have your corporate and your individual donors as well. So it we'll take it in any form, any fashion.
Sure, sure. I wrote a note here that is some of the homemaking things that seniors need. Is that included, like maybe some light cleaning or I don't know, maybe ironing or laundry, anything like that included? Or is it simply, you know, handyman professional trade?
Yeah, it's more on the trade aspects. We did have a client, a senior couple, that just had a whole bunch of just trash in their house, that came after us to say, hey, we just have a whole bunch of random boxes that we just need moved around or thrown away. Could y'all assist us with that? And we're like, sure, we can assist with that. But outside of that, we have, you know, some all our other volunteers as we get into, I guess, the odd ironing jobs or things of that nature that we can reach out to. That's a little bit outside of our umbrella of service within the nonprofit, but then we can refer these individuals to those clients if they have other needs outside of that. So it's almost, gotcha. We're kind of used as a reference point for a lot of different things.
Absolutely. Well, and part of our ethical responsibility in elder care is to procure and refer quality services for the right. quality of life of the senior. So absolutely, you know, if it's something that is not quite in your criteria, absolutely. Kind of we build a network. And I know that you've been at several of the geriatric councils in the area, and that's exactly the reason. So right. Will you tell the listeners how we can get in touch with you or learn more about your organization? You said something about the website. Will you tell us what that website is?
Sure. You can go to www.booksofjohn.org. You can also check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Books of John. And there you can grab all the links to go to all the different places that we have across our platforms. But those are our majors.
Very cool. Very cool.
We'll answer our cell phone too if you call.
I love it. Well, very cool. I really appreciate you guys being here. I applaud you for your effort. I think this is a great mission and a great work. And it is next to my own heart. So you've got a friend in Hendersonville. Feel free to stop in, or if there's something we can do for you, we'll be glad to. For our listeners, Johnson McGinnis Elder Care Law and Estate Planning. I am Caitlin Green. I am an elder care coordinator here. Tune in to our next podcast, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Aging Starts Now podcast. For more information about today's show, visit tn-elderlaw.com, click on the free resources tab, and then click on Aging Starts Now. You'll find the show notes there. And while you're at it, why not check out all the free resources available at tn-elderlaw.com? Document downloads, the Johnson McGinnis blog, educational videos, informative articles, helpful links, a TV show, and more. It's all there, free for the taking. If you enjoy listening to the Aging Starts Now podcast, please subscribe, rate the show, or leave us a review. It's easy to do on whatever app you use to listen. We would love your feedback on the show. Aging Starts Now. We'll be back next week with more candid discussions about the challenges created by aging, disability, and unexpected illness.